CliffCentral.com. All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody.
Morning, everybody.
There we go. We got a band. Look at this.
Starting a band, baby.
I know.
Starting a band.
One microphone in there. It looks like you're having to reach. Lebang is here. She called me yesterday. She's like, 3 out of the 5 are snot-nosed, and I got to stay. I got to stay home and sort these little critters out.
Oh,
and you did. I mean, remarkably, you didn't even need to take any of them to the doctor. It's just, you know,
that was just God saying, you know what, you've had a crappy.
Oh, hang on. Sorry.
Come in, yeah. Over. Is that me? Yeah, it was just tough, man. And the worst thing about these kids with snot is that they don't have the ability to go to the bathroom, get tissue, and blow their nose. They just do this. Hand across the face.
Yeah.
So when it dries up in like 15 seconds, the bottom half of the face is just filled with all this white artistry.
Oh, God.
I need to now just... it was so much.
What did... I never thought he was funny, but Bill Cosby got this one right. He's like, when your children... don't blow the nose in, they wipe the snot all over the nose.
Oh.
It looks like a glazed donut monster.
It does.
And he was right about that.
Absolutely. No, he really was. But there's this nice cute little contraption where you pretty much suck the snot out.
It's like, I don't want to hear about this first thing on a Tuesday morning.
So you grab it, right? And then you stick it up the child's nose, you squeeze it, and it just pulls that glazed donut,
God.
The caramel, everything just comes out, and it goes...
And I'm just done with my coffee. I'm finished with my coffee for the morning.
It's a nightmare. It's a lot.
Jesus.
Story of my life.
So MM says, you obviously both got some last night. You know, I didn't.
I wish.
But I love the way that whenever... anyone's having a good day, it must be because they had oodles of sex.
Right? That's like the go-to. Like, oh, you look so overjoyed. It must be all that ass you got last night. Nope.
Now,
no ass.
MM, I'm guessing you didn't get any.
Hey, guys, come on. We can't assume.
Yeah. Lucky seems to think it's impressive that we're in the studio for the second day today.
I'm impressed by you.
Listen, I got out of bed this morning. God knows, like 4:30 or whatever.
Mm.
And I looked at myself in the mirror and I thought, meh. Just meh. You know, but by the time I get here, I'm fine. So it's not a bad thing, actually. I mean, who in the world? I mean, what is this? Some Disney princess who wakes up and goes, yay. Tweet, 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 tweet. With the birds and everything's great. And I feel pretty. I'm so pretty. No one in the world wakes up feeling that way at 4:30.
Days
no way.
Just aren't the same. There's days when you can feel like that and you're like, motivated. I got this. Today's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And then there's days when you're like, I don't feel great, but that's okay. I need to get up
anyway. And then you get on with it. And believe it or not, your day somehow... the worst part is not the waking up.
Exactly.
Or sometimes it is.
Sometimes it is, yeah. But what's helpful is like knowing that you're going to be around some really cool people. Like I know I psych myself up like that. I'm going to the office. I'm going to go do what I love. I'm going to hang out with some really cool people that are going to challenge my creativity.
Yeah.
Like I'm always like, oh, this is going to be dope.
This helps. I mean, like if you work with people that you enjoy working with.
Sure.
And listen, let's be honest here. Nobody in the world gets to hand pick the people they work with. Otherwise... it would be your friends, not your work.
And yeah.
And you get nothing done.
Exactly.
Right? We did this training session on Friday, which I think was really interesting.
So
and
nice.
And we kind of went around the room and, you know, kind of got everything aligned. And yeah, we've got a small team, but there's some really, really brilliant people in this team. I was boasting about all of them yesterday. I was talking to someone around lunchtime. And if you know that the people you work with have like the same goal in mind.
Yeah.
Not to make too much of a noise about this, because I know there's a lot of corporate shit going on at the moment, which is actually just, it's people papering over the cracks, you know, and they're pretending like they're one big family. I mean, I think if you've got a team that's bigger than 20 people, it's very hard to
manage,
to wield. Yeah. And you know, there's that Dunbar's number, which we've spoken about before on the show, which is like 240. Mm. That's the maximum number of connections you can have in your life at one time.
Damn.
So if you put your family in there.
Sure. That's minus.
Yours. You're already in the negative.
But wait, what kind of connections? Because there's like, you know, like real life connections. And there's like, oh, I see you every day on Facebook. Or, oh, I see your life on Instagram. No, no. So it's just real bonds. Yeah. 250 is a lot. That's a lot.
So, all right. Here's the actual definition, because I'm tired of like pulling this stuff out of my backside, and then people come at me like 5 weeks later and they're, you said. All right. So it's a suggestive cognitive limit to the number of people with whom one can have stable social relationships.
Sure.
Relationships in which an individual knows who each person is and how each person relates to every other person. Oh. This number was proposed in the 1990s by anthropologist Robin Dunbar. So it's actually much lower than 240. It's 150, according to him.
Ooh, 150. That's a lot of people. I don't even have three friends. I don't even know that many people.
No, I mean, look, they're not all friends. This is important from a definitional point of view. So these would include people you don't have to think, now, who's that again?
Okay.
These are people who you're interacting with fairly regularly. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm saying you take family and put them in there. That's already maybe 10, 20 people.
10, 20 out. Yeah. Us, right? Then that leaves you with, okay.
Then you've got close friends. That probably takes up another maybe 10. You only got the two. Only the two. But I mean, I kind of envy you because it's tidy, right?
It makes life so much simpler.
So when you think of something really hilarious or you want to make someone feel good, it's only two people you really have outside of your family.
Outside of my family, it's two people. But outside of those two, then there's like the meh. Like, you know, you kind of make the cut, but not really.
So this is where we get to that. I like to say that there are close friends, then mm-hmm. there are friends, and then there are acquaintances.
Acquaintances, correct.
So the friends are the ones that when you see them, you're genuinely happy to see them.
Sure, yeah.
And you love their company. But if you don't see them for like 3 weeks.
Life goes on.
You're not tearing your hair out going, oh, they've abandoned me. And, oh, I'm alone, so alone.
Yeah.
Not that I believe that that's ever healthy for anyone in mm-mm. any situation. Mm-mm. But let's just say that the friends are the ones who, if they call you up or they send you a text message or something, you're like, yay.
Yeah, you're like, this is nice.
I'm glad that person's in my life.
Yeah.
And then you get the acquaintances who you don't think about at all until you see them.
Sure.
And you could bump into each other, or you might arrange to see each other. Or maybe it's like those people who are just on the outside of the business connections.
Sure.
Maybe it's friends or they're acquaintances because your kids and their kids go to school together.
Yeah,
whatever.
Okay, I get it.
So total maximum number, I far exceeded it. I said 240. It's 150.
Still a lot, Gareth.
It's a shitload.
It's a cuckload.
I mean, but then go to your contacts on your phone.
Okay, no, now it's getting personal.
No, go to your phone, phone contact app, right? And then go to the bottom. I've got 4,263 contacts.
You are Gareth Cliff. I mean, you to have that. I've got 3,795.
Okay, it's a fortune.
It's a lot.
You're not
people.
That far behind me. You're like 200-300 people. Okay, so yesterday. Because my contacts are linked to my diary, so it puts people's birthdays on. So every day they're like four or five birthdays. This is also one of my tricks to keep in touch with people.
Sure.
So I always message people on their birthdays.
Oh, that's so kind.
And then if I see that it's been 3 years of you not acknowledging it, whether it's on Facebook, because that's the easiest for birthdays because people list their birthdays.
Sure.
Or if it's in my contacts and I actually have you in as a birthday list, then obviously, you're going to reply to that because it's WhatsApp or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's a great way of just me keeping those connections going.
You never know.
I'm not very good at like socializing and small talk and that sort of stuff. Mm. So it's a way for me to just keep in touch.
However, yesterday
I saw Cindy Siwe, who was a friend of mine. She, in fact, had a show here on Cliff Central for a while.
Yeah.
And she, of course, she died like a couple of years ago. She died during COVID. And it took – look, I'm not the most emotional guy in the world, but it felt really bad deleting her because she's not around anymore. Yeah. There's no point her birthday coming up. It would have been this week. And when I saw her birthday's coming up, I'm like, oh, I suppose I've got to delete her. You know? And it just feels horrible when you delete someone.
That's
am I right?
Yeah, that's not for you, pleasant. I mean, that's no
different for everybody. But
I've never had to like sit and physically delete someone. I just kind of like naturally, like their memory has to kind of just leave, and I know that this person's no longer there. But as far as deleting their contacts, blah blah blah, that's an exercise that just makes it so real. And that's why like Facebook had that whole thing of if you pass away, you can choose somebody to
a legacy contact.
A legacy contact so that they can
like everybody's got this big legacy. Like a lot of people are just
going about their tiny little lives. But in their tiny little lives, there's people that, you know, care and love them, et cetera, et cetera. But that's why those kinds of things help, because losing someone and then seeing them on social media, tweeting and sharing stuff, it's like, stop. You know, this person's obviously not there. It's only in like certain cases where it kind of makes sense. I remember when Dr. Cindy passed away a couple of years
that's
ago.
That's Dr. Cindy Sue.
We're talking about the same person. Everybody changed their profile pic to her picture, and it was almost like I couldn't be online because I just kept seeing her picture everywhere.
It's her birthday this week.
Oh, man.
Yeah, she was at varsity with me.
Really?
So I had known
she was
her
at
for
Tux.
A very long time.
She was at Tux.
She was on campus radio with me.
Yes.
And I mean, we knew each other well. I met her before she got married.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So that was a tough one. Your
yeah. So
City.
When her birthday came up, I was like,
man. Okay.
So a couple of interesting things in the comments section. I mean, Hardy Dave says 250 max. Some should unsubscribe, but this does raise the question of, you know, these people who are chasing likes and subscribers. Mm. And I mean, we're obviously a media business, but it would stand to reason that anything over 150 subscribers is pretty much a waste of your time, because you're not going to know any of the people beyond 150.
Exactly.
So it is worth considering that. Like if you post some interesting stuff on the internet, which is an ongoing thing that people are always thinking about, right?
Mm.
People, whether they admit it or not, they're always thinking about that stuff.
Yeah.
Like how, if you are the kind of person who posts, because they're those people who post nothing.
Mm.
If you are and you get 150, just like, cool. Count that.
Mm.
Say that is the maximum number of actual connections I could have.
You're doing a thing.
With this contact, with this content, let me just be grateful for that and move on.
Yeah.
Anything over 150, bonus.
Bonus, but obviously the more numbers in this media game, the better, you know?
Like, yeah, sure.
The more people you reach, and I put that in inverted commas, because like the truth is numbers these days can be bought, particularly online. So what influence is actually happening if you're influencing a bunch of bots?
Right. And that's why I just don't believe most of these people who are like, oh, we've got 4.5 million people. I don't believe you.
Yeah,
I don't believe you. I've been in media for 25 years, and I can promise you now that there's no way you know that for a fact.
There's this girl who is a huge TikTok star, and she has over 1 million followers, and she decided to do a meet and greet. This is in the States last year. So she was like, oh man, all my over 1 million followers, I love you guys so much. I'm going to do a meet and greet. Let's meet at the mall, blah, 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 blah. She rocked up there, and there was absolutely not a single soul that arrived to this meet and greet. And that should tell you something. That should tell you something. The real influence isn't happening online. It's not happening to the over a million people. It's us, the little guys who have 130 something followers. That's us. We're actually speaking to real people and probably imparting some real shit into their lives versus come and meet and greet me. You know?
Yeah.
Should tell you something.
Yeah. And people get all like obsessed by these numbers. I don't think it's healthy.
It's not real.
This is an interesting throwback. It's a Tuesday, not a Thursday, but today is 3 years since lockdown started.
Dang.
Ish, where did the time go? Well, yeah, if you consider that this was the day where 3 years ago that our entire world got thrown into disarray.
Wow.
Do you remember?
Do I? It was horrible.
And there's still some people who wish that it was like that, I suppose.
I mean, it depends on how your lockdown went. You know, for a lot of people, it just kind of showed them real life. Do you know how many people got divorced?
Do you know how many people aren't around anymore?
Do you know how many people aren't around? Mm-hmm. It was a very like life shifting moment for us. I can't believe it's been 3 years, but at the same time I can, because these past 3 years have kind of just been one big mush.
It has.
2020, 2021, 2022. I can't tell you what year.
No. And if you point to anything that happened during those 3 years, I don't know when exactly it occurred. No. It could have been in May 2020 or it could have been in October last year. I have no idea.
Exactly. That's like the one thing about this time of life is that it's all just one long blech. It's a big meh.
I remember we were trying to be very optimistic about it because I thought, well, you know, we're a digital media business and we can connect with our audience and we can connect with our clients and we can connect with all our peeps any way we like.
Sure.
And we were doing that. And I remember us doing a series of interviews with some really prominent people, just asking them how they're coping with things, what their plans are, what are they going to do to keep themselves from spiraling out of control. Mm. And, you know, there was some useful information there. And I remember one of the interviews was with Peter Matlare, who, you know, very prominent South African businessman. He was the CEO of the SABC when I went to work there.
Yeah.
He was at Tiger Brands as their CEO. He was at Vodacom for a long time. I mean, he was really a power player.
Sure.
And Peter Matlare was someone who I always looked up to and thought, this is a guy who's got his shit together. And of course, he died during COVID, which, you know, when I think about the fact that we did that interview and like a couple of months later, the guy was not there anymore. It was like, it was a pretty tough thing to then kind of figure out in your head, you know?
I think a lot of us experienced some trauma around just the sudden loss of so many people. And of course, people are always going, but in that period, it almost felt too close. It was at our doorstep all
just remember
the damn time.
I better delete his contact as well.
Oh my gosh. There's like some mass trauma that I think all of us experienced.
I'm going to have to delete this.
Oh my gosh.
Jesus. Guys. Thanks for the reminder.
Me?
I mean, what are you going to do? Keep it on there? Shame. I see Neil's comment here. My dad passed away in January. It's really hard to delete his contact.
How do you, process? Oh, man. Mm-hmm. No.
Tracy says, I'm a digital hoarder. Last year, I got a new phone and when backing up, my WhatsApp froze. I lost all my WhatsApps, including last messages from friends who are no longer. It broke my heart. But, like, in some ways, isn't it doing you a favor, allowing you a fresh start?
Probably to just like let it go and just like reimagine your life without that person.
You got to be careful with too much nostalgia, hey?
It's hard, Gareth. It's hard. Like it's still raw for most of us, right? So just scrolling through your WhatsApp conversations, and that's almost like the first thing one does. When you find out that, oh no, Usman Ban has passed away, you go to your WhatsApp, you see what's the last thing they said to me, the last conversation we had. Yeah. Because in a way, I think that's the human way of almost like remembering them and honoring them, because that's the last way you'll remember them. There'll be no other interaction after that.
Yeah.
And it's difficult to let go of that. You're not going to delete a full ever many years of conversations, of chats. Those are the memories. You know, it's like being in a relationship and then breaking up with your partner. You just want to delete all those images. You're not just deleting images. You can't remove those images and those memories from your head. So it's neither here nor there, but I'm sure in the process of grief, there's definitely something to be said about, I'm at the stage where I can let this all go and delete the number and delete the conversations and the pictures, blah, blah, blah. I'm sure there's something in there, but to each his own. I mean, we all have our paths.
I'm not the kind of guy who goes back and looks at old photos when I'm lying in bed at night, you know? But occasionally someone will send me a picture and I'll be like, wow, good times.
Or your phone will show you a memory. 6 years ago on this day, were blah, blah, blah.
I don't even look at those.
Really?
I've disabled them. I don't find that very...
But you like history?
Yeah, but no, this is personal history and it's not that interesting. And also, you know, like I saw a couple of people on Saturday I haven't seen for a while and it was really cool to see them. But I don't go, oh, well, the time in between was wasted because I didn't see them. It's bullshit. Yeah. You just move on. There's some interesting points being made here. Lebang, that is so not cool. Not even one turned up with over 1 million followers.
It happens.
Sure.
It happens.
Yeah.
This is real life, bro.
Yeah. Tracy says we were in the Kruger Park when the world shut down. Best place to be. We missed out on all the panic, tinned food, baking flour, and toilet paper purchases.
Remember the toilet paper purchases where everybody was getting their bunkers filled with woolies?
How ridiculous.
Baked beans and woolies tissues.
How ridiculous. Congo Chris says, I mean, listen, this is a bit of nostalgia that just reminds you of like how far we've come in 3 years.
Sure.
Pineapple beer. I became a master brewer, he says. My pineapple beer was so good, people were placing orders. I was making like 20 liters a week. Closest I've come to being a moonshiner.
Look, I do remember lockdown doing one good thing. Suddenly everybody became an entrepreneur. Suddenly everybody was selling something. Suddenly everybody had access to the black market and people got into hustle mode. Yeah. You know, it was cool to see that, that side of people that like, oh, do you have a guy? I've got a guy. Follow me this way. Here's the number. Blah, 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 blah. People are posting all sorts of things online, like a picture of a table. And then on that table was a bottle of gin. And then in the copy, it would say, looking for this table in this. Do you remember?
Because they thought our police would actually be able to track you down. Like our police can't even sit the right way around on a toilet. And we're worried about them trying to track you down for gin.
Our police are also selling.
Exactly. I mean, I knew a guy who was actually like buying his straight from the police.
Me too. Yeah. I had like a couple of cop plugs. No, it was a time to be alive.
Yeah. So, all right. We've got a lot to talk about this morning that hasn't got to do with that, but it's an interesting thing. We've got to mark these anniversaries, you know, 3 years since that craziness set in. And there's still lots of people who I think owe us an apology over the way that they behaved. You know, all the Karens, the government, that stupid National Coronavirus Command Council with their dumb rules. All the people who thought those rules were a great idea. All those, we love you, Cyril. We support you, people. Remember them?
Yeah, no.
Douchebags.
Yeah, no.
I just want to point out again, you people are the big problem in society.
You guys suck.
The rest of us got on with our lives and broke all the rules that we didn't like. Just speaking of things we don't like, you placed an order online. And, you know, Ryan was reminding me this morning. Ryan, the producer, said to me, remember I bought that bag? On some site, and there are a lot of these sites,
there's
right?
So many
like,
now.
I bought a pair of shoes years ago when buying online was still quite new.
Yeah.
And they delivered these totally Fong Kong pieces of shit that have already, they came apart like in the box on the way to me. And I thought, oh, you learn. But Ryan bought a bag and then.
He bought it from One Day Only. You know that site that gives you those deals for one day.
That's right. Yeah. And then it arrived and it wasn't anything like the bag that he thought he'd ordered.
Yo.
Now you've made a similar purchase. Come on.
I'm so embarrassed. So you know my issue with Facebook Market is already sketchy, but I keep going back to the crime scene. For whatever reason, like I still believe in Facebook Market because there are some good people there. But they, I think, are more just trashy people. So next week is Easter and we're having our first Easter in our new home with all the families or whatever. So we just like tightening up, getting a couple of things. Sure. So I need some lights for my garden just because like it gets so dark at night. So I did a couple of research, you know, went out there, saw some really nice lights. And I was like, you know, these could work. I've got a couple of trees where I can hang this up. So what I ordered versus what I got. Oh my gosh. I'm so embarrassed. You're the first people I'm showing this to. I haven't even showed this
to my boyfriend.
So this is
what they showed. This is what they showed on the.
Yeah. This is what I was supposedly ordering. I mean, nice.
Those
you know,
are gorgeous.
Teardroppy
but
type.
They look almost like flasks filled with like champagne.
Exactly.
You know,
you know
they
a little
light
bit
up
of,
and looks beautiful.
Va, va, voom. So I'm stoked. I'm like, man, my garden is going to be popping. Let me show you what I got. I'm so embarrassed. I haven't even showed this to my boyfriend. I had to, like when they delivered it yesterday, I had to hide them. What am I going to tell
this
man?
By the way, what did these cost you?
That's another part of it. They cost me $90. Oh. But.
Okay, but that, I mean.
But.
Yeah, all right.
Check this out. Look how small. This is 5 meters of like tiny little, they're not even teardrops. They're
those
like,
are such bullshit.
Dog, it's giving Chinatown. And here's the solar panel. So here's the thing.
Oh, wow. So they, okay. So they do, they'll operate on solar.
They'll operate on solar, but this is good for like, do you remember the movie?
Piece of shit.
What's the movie with that little rat? Stuart Little. Yes. This is like Stuart Little type lights for his house.
But it's not anything like what you were advertised.
Exactly. And in the advertisement, they showed the size. They were like 30 centimeters each. blah, 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 the distance between each light. So I'm like, this is going to be awesome. Yo, I don't know what I'm going to say when I get home. I'm going to have to make up some lie and be like, oh, they didn't arrive. And then when they were, I'm going to be like, oh, the kids got into them. Look, you get what you pay for. I don't know what I was hoping for. I was just being a cheapskate. Yeah. And I bought many of these boxes. So if anybody wants these.
How many did you buy?
I bought like 10. Guys, they're so tiny. Ooh.
Well, I mean, okay. So if you bought 10.
Yeah.
I reckon you could put those in a tree.
Gareth, one for each tree was the thinking. I'll wrap one around each tree. It's not going to work.
One tree that can have
all of them. If I had one, it could look quite nice.
I mean, I'm sorry for you.
I must just stop being
a cheapskate. But it is solar, so you know, hopefully they work. You're embarrassed and justifiably so.
No, I'm definitely embarrassed. Yeah. It's a lesson for me to just forget about Facebook Market. I keep going back there because there's such good deals. Also, I bought like a little, like tiny little chair.
I was going to say, like a lot of people, Dogos is saying, you paid $90. What did you think? Did you think it might have been too good to be true? Carl says, you paid $90. What did you think you were getting?
That's like less money than the Cliff Central Braai. I should have known better. I should have known better.
Dumb assery. Sorry.
No, straight up. I'm not going to lie. I must just sit in my bed at 1 a.m. and order off take a lot like you and get real things.
At least the stuff I bought was what I ordered.
Mm. You know?
But you're.
That's what I'm saying.
Guys, just also, please do not get fall for. And I know this sounds so obvious to people who. These sites that look like they're. If you just Google a certain item.
Yeah.
And you end up on some site. It just looks even slightly like it's not a brand you would know. Do not waste your money. You know how many people I know who've ordered stuff?
Yeah.
It just never arrives. Ugh. At all.
How do you check if it's credible, though? How do you know if it's real?
I think you've got to know the name of the site. If they haven't ever advertised anywhere, they can't be real. So this is where advertising does really work. And if I'm not familiar with a brand name, you better believe that I'm going to stay the hell away from it.
It's tricky.
Once bitten, twice shy.
It's tricky because then you get like sites like Alibaba where you can buy any and everything there. But it's also just like a lot of people selling inside the one site.
Yeah.
So you tend to rely on people's reviews. I know I'm a huge review person, even just like a restaurant.
But people put up fake reviews.
That's the thing. They get their cousins to put reviews, their friends, their sisters.
These days there are automated ways of generating like 200 reviews, which are all positive that a machine does for you, like a bot does for you. With AI, you don't know that it's even humans. That's why I'm saying reviews do not look at reviews.
They're not real anymore.
They're not. And that's the same as with numbers on YouTube or whatever else. Sure. Don't look at that shit. It's nonsense. There are bot farms in the Ukraine that are doing this work for people.
I remember there was a time in the music industry when the internet like was now, I think it was like maybe a couple of years ago. In fact, just pre-lockdown where the farms became a real thing.
Yeah.
And there were maybe 500 cell phones lined up in a tiny little basement in someone's house and you'd pay that person to stream your song. So all of those devices are playing your song over and over and over again. And now there's all this hype because there's all these numbers and the record labels pick you up. It's pretty much just a scam.
It is a scam.
It's a scam.
So Barefoot Blanche says, I ordered a camera lens off Bid or Buy way back and got a packet of stickers.
Not Bid or Buy. Not Bid or Buy. And that's such a good concept. I like the idea of we're bidding, you know, we're bidding on this one item and I get the highest bid. It's mine.
Ricky says 3 months ago, I ordered a book called How to Scam People and I'm still waiting for that book. All right. Yeah. I've got something to show you here. This is wild. And we don't do too much politics except on a Thursday, but this is amazing. It was on Carte Blanche, which I don't watch anymore, but someone, Ryan found this and decided we needed to see it. So. Mm. At the risk of like us getting a copyright strike, you've got to see this. So it's Bongani Bingwa interviewing this dude about that guy who was killed with his son.
Insolvency guy. Okay.
So just watch this because if this doesn't scare you a little bit, then I don't know what the hell you know, whether you're even paying attention.
Pluta contacted us last week on Tuesday. He indicated that he was about to finish or proceed with the Section 417 inquiry. Well, his words were he was on the cusp of subpoenaing various prominent politicians to come and testify at that inquiry.
Was he able to indicate to you and Tessie who those prominent people were?
Yes, he did, but you must excuse me, with his murder, I'm not at liberty to divulge that.
Is it about his...
It's members of cabinet.
Ooh. Wow. Boom. So listen, to put not too fine a point on it, this means that there is now, that there are people out there who know that members of cabinet, having been outed for their crimes, are now actually potentially involved. I'm choosing my words carefully.
Sure, you don't want to be a target.
Potentially, no, it's not that. It's that, no, it's not that at all. It's that these people, you've got it. You can't say someone is guilty of something.
Sure.
It's up to the court to decide. Mm. But that potentially there are people sitting in our cabinet right now who could be involved in like taking people out because they're inconvenient. And you got to understand the best way for us to break this curse in this country is for everyone to be talking about who those people could be. Mm. Because if everyone is talking about it, we're all, they can't kill us all.
They can't kill us all. Exactly.
I think this is absolutely devastatingly shit.
That's scary.
And the fact that there are people that are this awful working at the highest levels of government is astonishing to say the least. You know, that they would take out this guy and his kid. And his kid.
Dude.
I mean, what kind of a piece of absolute human excrement you have to be to do that? Mm. And, you know, I didn't know what the whole story was at the beginning because, frankly, I'm not following this as well as I should if I were a journalist or any of those. This, the fact that this was – I mean, that guy – the fact that he's just said it's members of cabinet. It's members of cabinet.
That's the people at the tippy
now,
top.
I'm looking at those people because I've seen, you know, our cabinet waddle around and, you know, try and make themselves look like they know what they're doing and being important and all the rest. And I've often had this conversation with people. I've said, but they're incompetent. These are not people who could actually pull anything off because they're clearly no good at their jobs.
Sure.
And someone who I regard as being a lot smarter than me said to me once, no, don't underestimate. Like, they're incompetent at doing the stuff we've actually asked them to do, but they're very good at being crooks.
Mm.
So, I don't know. Make of that what you will.
That is so scary. Like, you do realize we live in the kind of place where this is now normalized. This kind of something like this happening.
Well,
all we can do is be shocked and say, oh my word, wow, this really happened. South Africa's a movie. Every year South Africa's a movie.
When we had Helen Ziller on Thursday, and we haven't had her on the Burning Platform for some time because, you know, she's federal chairperson, so she's not really in the foreground of politics anymore. She said, I mean, she and Canton had a huge big fight, which I'll talk about in a minute, and it was hilarious, but she did say this is a mafia state.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid when you hear stuff like this, you actually can't argue.
Yeah.
Like, it is a mafia state. We're run that with the worst and most dangerous criminals are now at the top of the tree.
Yeah.
That's what we're dealing with.
And we must just accept and keep it moving.
So on the issue of why Canton and Helen had a big fight is because Canton is like, well, why are you picking sides in this Russia-Ukraine thing when you don't have to? So look at this stupid headline from today. It is from the SABC. So normally I would treat that with some suspicion, but I don't put this past DA leader John Steenhuisen at all. He says, Russian President Vladimir Putin should be arrested if he comes to South Africa. Now, talk about facepalm. I mean, I really want to be able to say that John Steenhuisen is a smart guy. And I want to be able to say that we need people like him in South African politics.
Sure,
and
sure.
And by and large, when he talks about domestic issues, and when you look at the DA's record in the Western Cape and other municipalities like Umgeni, where they run things better than any other party.
Sure.
Fair and square. There's no reason for us to argue about that. But when they start talking about shit like this, and when he says what, like, I want to see John Steenhuisen. First of all, he's put on a lot of weight. I don't think he could run up to Vladimir Putin anyway. And I'm not being mean. I love John. I think he's doing as good a job locally and domestically as he can. But when you start mouthing off about bullshit like this, you are not doing anyone any favors. Who is the constituency you're playing to in this case?
Gareth, is he not the same person that actually went to Ukraine?
He was.
In the beginning.
Again.
Why?
Can I tell you something? No one is voting DA because of your Ukraine policy.
Nobody cares on that level.
And who's going to run up to Vladimir Putin and try and arrest him? Do you know what's going to happen? I mean,
we're already a mafia state.
Like, correct.
Let's do one thing at a time here. I think in terms of priorities.
I don't know if he thinks that that's a brave statement to make, or I don't know who's advising him. I'm like, yeah. John, what a stupid thing to say. It's like when, you know, when the presidency and Naledi were going at each other over the same thing. The average South African does not give a shit.
Don't care, bro.
And I'll tell you something now. If Russian money came here and they said, we want you to do a pro-Russia piece every week.
Yeah.
I'd do it.
Oh?
If the Ukrainians came here and said, I want you to do a pro-Ukrainian thing, I'd do it. I think we're not getting enough information about this stuff. And frankly, I don't know whether people care enough about it. So it would have to be very short.
Yeah.
But I don't think that making yourself a partisan to a fight that's going on millions of kilometers away is helping any South African.
It's not. It's not. When we have so much happening right here on our doorstep at home, I think that's where his minerals should be. If anything, this is exactly him going to the war. He went there.
Why are we involved?
Why are we involved?
I mean,
why are we in it? Why are we in it?
So if the Ukraine suddenly said to us, and remember we had the Ukrainian ambassador on not so long ago.
Yes.
Okay. So a lot of people would immediately look at that and go, oh, well, they're obviously on Ukraine's side. And Russia were the aggressor in this war. So I don't want to get into that. But the reality is if Ukraine comes to us and says, we got this great trade deal, or do you want to partner with us on this? We've got to weigh it up on its merits. If Russia does that, we must do the same. If Vladimir Putin comes to visit, what? Who is the brave little soldier who's going to run up and arrest?
Arrest! Him? Please show yourself.
I mean, I don't believe it for a second. Because if you're that brave, why haven't you stood up to our own government?
Yeah, no, look.
You know, why haven't you done something about load shedding?
This is all so brave. It's just all talk. It's all, you know, talkability. It's this and that's happening. What's trending? Let me jump on and have an opinion. No, John, you go and arrest Vladimir Putin by yourself single-handed.
Yeah, I just want to see something. Let's see how that goes.
I want to see if you can even get that close to him. This is motherfucking Vladimir Putin, bro. Yeah, you can't just walk up to him and be like,
he's probably one of the most dangerous people in the world.
Exactly.
This is all like, internet virtue signaling.
Sure.
It's like, oh, I'm going to go and arrest. He should be arrested by who? You think Becky Taylor is going to run up to him and go, hey, Vladimir. I mean, not a chance. There's not a chance.
It's not happening.
Sometimes you have to look at what the situation is and be realistic about it.
That's all.
That's why I think this is so stupid.
Yeah.
Anyway, Steve says quite rightly, it's political posturing.
That's all that's happening.
So dumb. Congo Chris, just trying to look for an argument here, says, oh no, sorry, it's Carl, says, the only reason I'm voting DA next year is because of their stance on the Ukraine and Israel-Palestine issues, lol.
That is the reason. That's the thing that's going to make you vote for them.
And Peter says, and this is what Canton's point was, is we should be buying oil and gas from Russia. Exactly. And Patrick says Canton was 100% correct and glad he roasted Zilla. Are they stupid? Just going to lose votes. And they're giving this country the ANC through the back door. Love that tweet. What fuckery is this? Yeah.
Hey, so all much right. is happening in South Africa. All let's right. let's well, focus.
Well, I mean, that's exactly right. So I want to order, like you've ordered these lights, which are just unbelievably terrible. I want to order a bunch of mugs. I mean, I saw this mug the other day and I thought, this is the kind of mug to give all of my friends the same presents for Christmas or for their birthdays this year.
Okay, that's
mugs
clever.
That say something like this, you slag. And then with a picture of them. Don't you think that would be funny? You slag.
How many friends are we talking, Gareth?
I'm talking like maybe 10.
Okay.
I could do that, cute. Right?
It's like an inside joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they'll get it. It's very you.
We all have our own mugs here at Cliff Central too. Yeah. We used to have our names on them. I've still got one somewhere with my name on it.
Yeah. Everyone still has their like own personalized.
I'd like one with a picture of like each of my friends with you slag.
But do you want to drink out of a mug with your picture on it?
With you slag written on it, especially, right? And maybe just at home.
Yeah. Maybe not at the office. During the people. Yeah, okay, go for it.
I think that's a good idea. And that won't cost a fortune either.
It won't. Careful who you get to print it for you. Just don't get scammed.
Yeah.
But also, like, on the brighter side of things, I also ordered, like, these canvases. You see, like, this one behind me here with I submitted a bunch of pictures of me and my kids onto this website who have been getting a lot of good reviews.
Okay.
And they delivered the canvases and they are absolutely stunning. Like, I'm so impressed. So, look, it's the small wins. You're not going to get everything, but some of the things you will get. They look so nice.
I think that's awesome.
It's very nice.
Normally, I wouldn't trust the reviews, but in this case,
you know.
Nice work.
Yeah, sometimes you have to take the risk.
Sometimes they don't screw you over.
Yeah.
Shame those lights.
I must just put them away. I must just hide them. Ooh, GTP, Great Power. That's the brand. I should have known.
Yeah, Congo Chris reminds us that Putin is actually a legitimate judo double black belt.
Yes.
So he doesn't even need the bodyguards. He'll take you out himself. Yeah, like what? John Steenhuisen is going to take him out.
Ah, come on, maybe a donut. Not you, John Steenhuisen. Not you, bro.
I know we're piling on, but I mean, we often pile onto the other politicians. It's his turn for a beating.
Yeah, there's no preference here. It's just a nice, everybody gets the same heat, which is fair. Yeah. I think. I mean, if you're going to go into politics, you know what getting yourself into. Yeah, of course. It's not a walk in the park.
Which is why we prefer to not be in politics. It's also why we like Tuesdays, because sometimes our friends pop in and say hello. And here he is, Jaco Voigt, who is with us today. Hey, are you going to be chilling with us after this? Because you've got a show later, right? So are you going to be here the whole time?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Nice to see you.
I have to say, it's my first time here in a new place and with you guys.
Yeah, on the show.
I'm loving this. It's much better than remote.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
There's something nice about being in the same room. I mean, it sounds so obvious, but with all of that confusion, someone brought up in the comments 3 years ago today, the lockdown started. And since then our brains are stopped working properly.
Yeah.
So it is nice and it makes a huge difference.
It does. And now you start to notice things like that.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm loving the energy. It's very nice.
Good. No, it's lots of fun.
Good.
So what's been happening with you, man? Are you still doing these crazy endurance cycling and running and all kinds of other crazy things? Because this is what you do for fun.
I was actually telling Ryan now 2 weeks ago. And
you didn't do the stupid Cape Epic, did you?
No. One day when I'm big, I'll do that.
No, you
when
mustn't.
When you grow up.
No, you mustn't. I got this email from somebody. Let me just find it. Ryan, did they put that email on the – let me just look for the damn thing.
That's like proper bucket list stuff, that.
No, is it really? Would you want to do that?
I think so. Yeah.
Why wouldn't a person listen to this.
Hey guys, I've just returned from supporting my sister in the first leg of the Absa Cape Epic. A bit of a bitch and moan incoming. Listen to this. Each rider pays 54,000 rand entry fee. Is that right?
Yeah. I actually thought it's more, to be honest. I had like 80, but
54,000 rand to put yourself through hell.
And ride a bicycle.
Okay, this is definitely a mental illness.
It's a hard no.
This is a proper mental illness. Mm-hmm. All right, so, Jaco, you can help me understand this, right? I'm going to unpack the email as we go through it here. This is from Nikki. So you pay that money.
Yeah.
Gets you access to an 8-day event, overnight accommodation in a teeny tiny minuscule tent.
Yes.
Communal showers, port-a-loos,
ugh,
and all the shit food along the way. Because these are all like health people, so they can eat like terrible food. You get the choice to upgrade to a luxury tent at an additional fee. This is where you're talking about 80. Never mind the fact that this year the luxury tents were placed next to noisy generators that are running 24/7. Or the gale force winds on Monday afternoon that meant the entire race village had to be dismantled and riders were left to sleep in the local school hall overnight. Or the fact that there's a tummy bug going around, no doubt exacerbated by the port-a-loos. So people were diarrhea infused. This is just lovely.
And you can queue for that.
Yeah, you could queue for this. And then the better part is when you hop on your bike. At the best of times, there's a dropout rate on the race, but it seems like Monday night's debacle caused many riders to drop out yesterday. The ripple effect will no doubt be the cause of many more doing so. The poor positioning of the tents will likely have a negative effect. I don't think it takes a rocket scientist, says Nikki, to see the glaring disparity between what riders pay for and what they get. As an outsider, I think the entire thing is a ripoff. It's making someone quite rich. 54,000 rand for that. It's like paying a top tier dominatrix to whip you. I understand the godlike athleticism required to enter the race, let alone compete in it. I have the utmost respect for anyone who can. I do realize the level of infrastructure needed to host such an event, but I'm sorry. To me, it feels like a case of the emperor's new clothes. I'd love to hear from any of your listeners who've experienced this either as a rider or a supporter or a vendor at the race. Many riders get sponsored to do it, but most do not. My sister's team is raising money for charity. That's where their sponsorship is going. Love the show. Love you guys, Nikki. Well, first of all, Nikki, I'll climb in and say that your sister deserves this. And bad things happen because you deserve it. And if you're going to spend money on something this medieval, you kind of get what's coming to you.
Not 54,000 rands.
But more. Yaku says more.
That sounds like a rocking the daisies. It's a festival setup. There's tents and toilets. That's it. 54,000
You would want to do this?
Well, Epic is invitation, so you've got to qualify. So there's a bit of a.
So you qualify and then they charge you.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
How many people take part in this thing, Yaku? I've never paid attention to it until Nikki's email.
Well, you know, it's actually interesting. I haven't done Epic because I still need to grow up a bit, but, I've done Sani to See, and one of the things I often say to Anita is,
Anita's your wife.
Yeah. It really,
you guys do that. You both do this.
Well, she doesn't cycle. We run now.
Okay.
She likes,
but you do the running together and then you are into the cycling now.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. So, but the running is the same story. I mean, this past weekend, we were in Saturday in the rain. We were in a place close to Arties called Rustig.
Yeah.
And we did.
The Saturday was unbelievably shit weather.
And then it was sort of in a, sort of a koppie / mountain, and they just let us go and do it. And I like halfway through, and it's raining and slippery.
Mud everywhere.
And you can't see, and it's like, just down. And I was saying to her, I actually can't believe that they just let people go and do it.
Like safety regulations?
But they'll come and find you at some stage, I guess.
Well, they'll find the bodies. They'll have to recover the bodies. You've got to feel sorry for the rescue people who are called in, because this is a voluntary thing.
Yes,
so
sure.
People are putting themselves into a situation where there's going to probably be shit, at least for a few people. They're not going to handle it. It's going to go horribly wrong. Then someone has to pay for a helicopter to come out and rescue someone, or for somebody to drive up the mountain, get stuck. There are huge costs involved. And I don't know that this Cape Epic thing, I saw a video of a dude on Instagram, not someone I followed. It came up in the feed. And he was like, he's had diarrhea for 4 days. He's hating his life. And I thought, why would you do this? You have to explain to me what it is that makes people do this.
Because clearly there's something.
And you know, and then it's all relative. Because then I'm sure there's even more extreme bicycle races.
Sure.
There's a thing called Racing the Planet, for example, where you do 4 deserts. So 7 days, 250 kilometers, self-supported. All your food,
Is it to prove to yourself you can do it? Because that would make a bit of sense.
Well, I think it's exactly probably, that. It's a mental thing, you know, like.
Cause yesterday on the show, I brought up this article that I read over the weekend that men in particular, they need a bit of danger in their lives. And okay. if you don't have a little bit of danger in your life as a man, you get frustrated because life has become kind of soft. And I can't imagine there is a softer group of people in the universe right now than kind of middle class dudes who have a job. And, you know, so maybe we all, because I put myself in there as well, maybe we need a little more danger in our lives. And maybe that's partly why people do this.
But it's for me, it's how far can you stretch your mind? That's really.
Sure.
Because if you think about it, if you do 7 days, so it's on average 30, 40 kilometers a day, you have to carry your food and everything that you're wearing and your sleeping bag and everything. That's just you fighting against yourself. Because sure.
So it is a mental thing more than it is a physical. So
you're testing your limits.
It's what Rena told us last week about John Hunt. Every year he adds something new that he hasn't ever done before. So just to keep yourself on your toes, always challenge yourself. Mm. So this almost seems like the kind of thing that would be up there as far as let me challenge myself.
So would you want to go through what these people are going through now? Because it sounds horrible. Aren't there other ways? Because you're a smart guy. You already know the limits of your mental. You've started businesses. You're one of the busiest people I know.
I think this year was for Epic was probably particularly bad because it was raining and the weather. But I was saying to Nita, like there's certain of these things, like for example, when if I manage to get an entry to the Cape Epic and I finish it, mm-hmm. you get a bit of merch, so you get like a jacket or a t-shirt. Like for Epic, you can wear that with pride. It's a bit of a badge of honor. So,
hey,
yes,
yeah. I mean, maybe I'm just made differently to other people. I have zero desire to ever take part. If you gave me free entry and everything, bells and whistles, you couldn't get me there if you buckled me and attached me to one of the other people on this thing.
But I've got to add the diarrhea and the porta potty is not, it's not unique to Cape Epic. The announcer when I did Sonny to see, he told us he did Joburg to see. So they literally ride from Joburg to Scottsbro or something. Mm. And then, he said he was, just as they were about to kick off, he had to go run quickly, and then they were busy dismantling the camp because they move on to the next one and the next one. And he was on the porta potty and he felt the thing started moving. So, so he had
they
to run out and
while
say,
he was there.
Yo, guys, wait.
You know, I mean, listen, there must be some very funny stories from this one, but I thought when I knew you were coming in this morning, I had to read this to you because you're the only one who could explain
it. You lose your ease and graces. You don't worry about any of that type of stuff. You become very basic, if I can call it that.
I mean, you've just paid 50,000 rand.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's just for the entry.
Yeah,
then you still have to get there and then never mind the bicycle and the gear. Listen, I think you'll. It'll be insane.
Believe it or not, we didn't drag you in here this morning to talk about that. I want to talk about how much has changed. And in 2023, for many people, this is finally the year that they're not going to dilly-dally and bugger around anymore. They can get themselves and their business onto the cloud. Because if you are still storing things on a hard drive or you've got a bunch of computers in a server room doing this for you, it's just so inefficient and stupid. And there are a lot of big companies that are still doing this.
Well, it's actually,
they've invested this like a sunken cost thing going on here.
Yeah.
Right.
It's actually interesting, Gareth. You spoke about this, the 3-year anniversary of one of the most insane events that we'll ever experience. Mm. I think what I'm actually seeing in, I think during that period, everybody was just piling in and going, we've got to take everything into the cloud and mm-hmm. we're never going to go back to the office. What I'm actually experiencing, I actually, reposted an article from a guy, an American guy, last week on LinkedIn, and I was getting lashed from some guys in South Africa, but there is actually a bit of a boomerang effect happening. So there's actually people that piled into this. And I think most probably the problem around it is the term cloud is a bit ubiquitous. You know, what is it?
Sure.
But everybody went into this hyperscaler world and just went there and said, okay, right, that's the end of our problems and our budgets are going to be under control and it's going to be the best thing since sliced bread. And what's happening is there's actually this sort of boomerang effect where a lot of businesses are now going and saying, looking at it over a 2 or 3 year period, it was actually a lot more expensive than just having that sunk cost there. So what's actually happening.
Really? So they're turning around and doing the opposite. But you wouldn't advise that's a good idea.
Well, Gareth, I've got to look at
I was going to say, you're wearing a shirt that says Ultra Data Center.
Yes. So,
okay, so what's Ultra Data Center? Are these clients and partners of yours or something?
So Ultra Data Center is a catalytic sister company.
Okay.
And it's basically a place where people come in and store their servers and computers and stuff.
Okay.
So when you look at it, and that's why I'm saying this, the term cloud is a bit too generic. Mm. So what's happening, a lot of people will say it's more cost efficient to buy my own infrastructure, but I don't want to house it in my offices or whatever. So I'm going to go find a place to put it. And,
sure.
And a data center is really.
I saw one of those big industrial buildings in Midrand.
Yes.
That's a data center.
Yes.
As you drive past sort of waterfall area.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. You know those guys?
That's Vantage, an American company. They, according to them, they spent $1 billion there. So,
cause you got to cool it. You got to keep upgrading it. See, this is why I get frustrated, and we're just a small business, but yesterday, Khomolema comes to me and says to me, we're going to have to do something with that computer in my office. And I'm like, oh, what? Because these things do, you know, they do need replacement or refurbishment.
Maintenance and stuff.
And why, if that's not your core business, what are you doing with it?
And that's exactly, and I was actually at an industry event last week where they were talking about the potential of a grid shutdown and how those data centers would, you know, because you have to store diesel. And then the other problem that you have is, you know, you've got a certain allowance of generator cost that you cost in as a standard part of your price.
Yeah.
But once you start running generators for like 3 days or a week or 2 weeks or whatever, you've got to go back to your customers in the data center and say, listen, I've got to share some of my costs with you.
Yeah.
So it's a very difficult scenario. And it was almost like such a bizarre thing for me because, you know, they're talking about total grid collapse. And we're sitting in an industry event and they're saying, okay, well, the max we can run is for a month. And I'm saying, guys, I don't want to be funny, but I think if the total grid collapses, the last thing that people are going to worry about is what's happening to their daughter. It'll probably be carnage out there in the streets, you know.
Zombie apocalypse stuff.
So it's such a bizarre thing. But rightly so. And I think exactly what you're saying, Gareth, is as people come out of those 2 or 3 year cycles now and they're looking at the cost and they're saying, maybe entrusting all of that data and experiencing the hidden cost of all of these large international hyperscalers is maybe not the best for my business. It might be a bit too expensive. So what you find, and in saying that, and that's why I said this generic term is maybe a bit problematic. There's a lot of South African companies, which I support fully, which offers private cloud services to customers. You know, so I think we tend to have this tendency to run to all of the international guys and not necessarily look at what's locally available. So I think those local or private cloud guys, they're a lot more becoming a lot more relevant and popular than they were 2-3 years ago because everybody likes to have a big name attached to it. You know, everybody goes, well,
is it hard? I mean, here's the comment that somebody makes here. Gig Shack says, I absolutely agree with Yaku. Once caught up in the cloud, it's very hard to get out of it. Is that true?
The international, so let's call it the guys like the Microsofts of the world or the AWSs of the world. Once you're in, to get your data out, you have to pay them for it.
Oh, really? So it's like the Hotel California. You can check out anytime you want, but you can never leave.
Exactly that. And that's those hidden costs, you know. So you pay to get data in, you pay to back up your data there, you pay to get data out.
Yeah.
It's very costly. And I think it's very difficult for the guy that made that the CTO or the CEO that made that commitment to now go back to his management or his board and say, guys, I actually got to double up on my mistake because we had to pay to get in and now I've got to pay to get out.
Yeah. And build the new infrastructure in house.
Exactly that. Exactly that.
Damn.
Got to make these decisions very carefully. Very carefully. That is just one of the reasons that we have a show on this every single week with Yaku on Tuesdays on cliffcentral.com.
No.
You don't want to miss this. It's this is where you can get the kind of information. And by the way, you don't have to be the CTO of your company. It's important for everyone to know this stuff because we all have data these days. These bloody things. You know, this backs up to the cloud.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I need to know what that means. I the only place I'm going to find that out is from you. Get your information right. Make sure you pay attention and listen to Yaku's show with Catalytic every single Tuesday. Make sure you don't miss it. All right. Good to see you.
Thank you very
much. Grab a coffee. We've got some decent coffee for the first time in ages. So I'll make sure you get it. All right. 7 o'clock, everybody. We'll be back in a moment with a whole lot more. Lebang and I, we've got some guests popping in later too. Don't go anywhere. CliffCentral.com.